Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, back here on the Team 980. And, of course, you guys know that we love professional wrestling around here. We're the only show that does it in the D.C. market that I know of, so we celebrate it every chance we get. And speaking of D.C., on Friday, February 14th, WWE SmackDown at Capital One Arena. The next day, Saturday, February 15th, it's WWE NXT Vengeance Day, and tickets pre-sale on now. Tickets for the general public go on sale through Ticketmaster on Friday. And joining us now is, unfortunately, now the former NXT champion, because Tuesday night at New Year's Evil in Los Angeles didn't go his way, but not because he wasn't good enough. No, no, no. We're going to discuss that. Trick Williams is with us here on the Team 980 and everywhere in between. Trick, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate you. I'm glad you're safe. And I guess we'll start just by saying this. As I was watching the match on Tuesday night, you put on a hell of a performance. That is a... I don't know. I guess you have to be kind of used to this when you do what you do, but that was a tough one for me to see you have to swallow that pill and lose that. What was a triple threat, then it wasn't a triple threat, then it was a triple threat, and the chair shot, man, that's unfair because you were kicking ass.
Yeah, man, let's talk about it. I appreciate you, Chris. You know, and unfortunately, man, that's the reality of, man, life, and especially this business, just things being thrown at you. And, you know, you have to deal with the cards that you dealt. And yesterday, I won't make any excuses. Obafemi was the better man. And the truth is, I never faced an opponent like Obafemi. But also, the truth is, he's never faced another man like Trick Williams. And I'm not done, and I will be back. Best believe it.
I love watching you in the ring, man. Your style is so easy to watch because it's exciting. It's interesting. It's a little bit unique, different. Some of the moves, you know, the what do they call it? The off the middle rope there, you I forgot. I'm losing the track of the term, but it was like a
some may call it a rock bottom, and
yeah,
some may call
exactly.
It a book. But exactly. I heard they got into a little dispute about where the origins of the move came from. So some people call it a rock bottom. Some people call it a bookend. And I might call it a trick end. Who knows? Or a trick
there you
bottom.
Go.
We're still figuring it out.
I like that. But I like that move and a couple of the other ones. And now, here's what I wanted to ask. When you for wrestling fans, obviously, triple threat matches add a different, unique appeal, right? You never know where, of course, it's going to end, and you know, different guys get pinned and whatnot. In a case like what happened Tuesday night at New Year's Evil, when you think you're in a triple threat, then you're not in a triple threat, then you are, and how hard is that to organize in your mind, sort through in your mind what you have to do to try and win that match, to try and get through that match, to hit your spots, to make everything look good for us on TV?
Man, I would say, man, that's a great question, Chris. A younger Trick Williams, you know, early into his career, you know, not as poised, not as confident, you know, wanting to control things, I think that would have fazed me a lot. Mm. But, man, yesterday, man, I had this sense of peace just knowing, hey, man, I've trained for this moment. You know, we had Christmas break and everybody went out and they ate the cupcakes and they was drinking tequila and they're having a good time. You know, I was in the gym and I was working hard. So win, lose, or draw, whatever happens tonight, you know, I'm ready, you know, because I put the work in.
Yeah.
And I didn't win, but, you know, I can live with that because – hey, now I get back to the lab and I train again.
Well, you played college football. I cover the NFL on a regular basis. We all know that you can play really well or wrestle really well and come up, unfortunately, just a hair short. And certainly there's no, there's no disrespect or anything in that because it was an outstanding match. And you mentioned Obafemi was, you know, maybe slightly the bigger, the better man. I know I know this. You're a bigger dude, right? You're 6'3", 215. That's a big dude and a big, strong dude. Is there a different challenge going against a larger framed wrestler and opponent as opposed to a smaller guy, or is it basically the same thing in your mind?
Well, it's different, you know. Like you say, yeah, I'm 6'3", 240, 6'4", 240. Oba's 6'4", 6'5", you know, 300. But, you know, whereas I'm a big guy, but in this case, now I'm the quick guy. Mm. You know, I'm the fast guy. So, you know, playing to my strengths of what I can do very well, you know, is what would have helped me last night. But, you know, Oba's 300 pounds, but he moves pretty well, too.
Yeah,
so,
no doubt.
You know, I would say every single matchup is unique because it's a styles clash where if I'm working Axiom, hey, now I'm the big guy and he's the quick, fast guy. When I'm working Oba, you know, he's the big guy and I'm the quick, fast guy. So it just kind of, you know, just kind of depends. That's why I'm glad I'm pretty versatile. I can do big man stuff and I can jump around and be fast too. So it all works.
You could watch NXT weekly on the CW, and many of you saw New Year's Evil from the Shawn Auditorium in Los Angeles. And our guest is Trick Williams, who unfortunately lost the NXT championship, but not because of a great performance and a great effort. And, of course, will be a big part of WWE and NXT's Vengeance Day at the Entertainment and Sports Arena coming up Saturday, February the 15th. First time that WWE has had a premier live event here in Washington, D.C. in I think 9 years. And you can get, of course, tickets through Ticketmaster on sale starting this Friday. Get to the ESA. It's a great little venue and it's loud. It pops. And the NXT crowd is great. I mean, last night, and, you know, as I watch you guys week to week and you get to feel it and immerse a trick, you know, that crowd was hot, of course, on the heels of Raw's debut on Netflix over at Intuit Dome. But that crowd's always hot. There's something about the NXT crowd that jumps out. I don't know if it's louder or it sizzles a little bit more on TV just because that's what my ear hears. Do you sense, like, based on what you know of, you know, the other events and Raw and SmackDown and other premium live events, that it just pops a little bit more?
Yeah, man, I think because it's people who come to NXT, they love the product.
Mm-hmm.
They watch week to week and they can't wait to see what goes down. Like, our storylines are deep. You know what I mean? They've seen Trick Williams for 3 years now. You know, when I was, you know, 210 pounds and, you know, just cutting promos and, you know, support other people. They saw Obafemi before he was the ruler. They saw Roxanne when she was probably 20 years old, maybe 19, you know, and that's the beauty of NXT. You see a large growth in, you know, a short period of time, being a couple of years. So NXT is a special place. Our crowds are so special, man. Like you said, it pops every single time.
You mentioned a younger Trick Williams wouldn't have maybe been able to handle the, you know, or handle as well the fatal three-way or the triple threat, I should say. Where has your greatest development in your mind come? Because you're still relatively new to this. You're still learning as you go, I assume, right? And kind of like me in radio, I've been in radio 27 to 28 years. Every day is different. Every challenge is different. Every show is different. Every season is different. I'm still learning. So I imagine you're still learning. Where has your greatest development in your mind come?
I think you just said it right there, Chris. I think the biggest thing is, instead of having a plan and it has to go like this, and I've just become okay knowing that I probably don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, my confidence lies more in my training and my preparation. So it's not, it has to go this way. It's more, whatever does happen, I'll be ready for it. And there's a sense of freedom that comes with that, you know, because when you feel like you can get the job done regardless, you know, it just frees you up, man. You feel a lot better. And I think that's the biggest thing that's happened for me. If we talk about on the mic, if we talk about in the ring, look, I'm going to land on my feet. I could have backflipped yesterday. People didn't know I could do that.
I mean, dude, I've been around a lot of impressive athletes. I'm so happy that we're getting to talk. I mean, I wish things would have gone better at New Year's Evil, but You're an amazing performer. There is no questions asked about that. Everybody can see that, and everybody knows that. You are going to be a stud. I mean, you're already there, but you're going to be a stud on the next level, as we know. I mean, everybody knows. Just stay healthy and keep doing your thing. Everybody knows. Trick Williams, nice enough to join us here as we chat about WWE and NXT Vengeance Day coming up at the Entertainment and Sports Arena. Tickets on sale through Ticketmaster. If you have any questions, of course, reach out to us. We'll help you. We'll steer you in the right direction. Coming up Saturday, February the 14th. February the 15th, 14th, WWE SmackDown will be at Capital One Arena. So you have a double dip of NXT and WWE and SmackDown back-to-back here in Washington, D.C. So how instrumental has Shawn Michaels been in your path, because obviously Triple H controls creative and overall, but Shawn is very, very, very involved in NXT. Do you lean on him a lot, or do you leave him alone and go to other guys? How do you kind of approach that?
Oh, man. Well, I think this whole opportunity that I've received, period, is coming from trying to build a relationship with Shawn Michaels. If we talk about maybe almost 2 years ago, maybe at this point, or a year and a half, something like that. I went to Shawn Michaels' office and I asked for opportunity. I asked for the ball. And this at a time, like we said, a younger Trick Williams. And, you know, he told me straight up, he said, you know, a lot of people ask for opportunities, they ask for the ball, but they're not ready for it. And if I give you an opportunity and you're not ready for it, you know, and you lay an egg, you might be on the bench for a while. Long story short, you know, here we are today, three titles later, you know, and that all came from building a relationship with Shawn Michaels. So I have nothing but respect for him. I'm grateful for him for giving me the opportunity to show what I can do and, you know, and lay it all on the line, man, to show up to D.C. for Vengeance Day, you know what I mean, on the 15th of February, you know. And by the way, get your tickets at Ticketmaster, and the promo code is NXT Live. Don't forget NXT Live. Let's talk about it. But
my man, Trick Williams, how about that? That is an excellent promo. I like it. one last thing before I let you go, you know, because I know you got to run, and I so appreciate the quick turnaround and everything. You know, nothing has come easy for you, just in your professional and collegiate life, right? You were a walk-on at Hampton, if I'm not mistaken, and then in your home state at South Carolina, right? You had a tryout with the Philadelphia Eagles for, you know, I've covered a bunch of rookie camps. Nothing has been handed to you. Everything has been earned.
Nothing. No, I mean, that's right. Well, I went to school to Hampton, full scholarship, then decided to leave and walk on at the University of South Carolina. Now, mind you, Chris, at the time, the University of South Carolina is number four team in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a football guy, you remember Jadeveon Clowney, sure. Steph Gilmore, sure. Marcus Lattimore. These were the guys. And, you know, and I remember watching them like, that's where I want to be. And, man, I left a full scholarship, like I said, and decided to jump and take a chance on myself, you know, to be part of the number at the University of South Carolina. I thought it would be better for my career, for my NFL career. Maybe I could be a commander one day, you know? And it happened. You know what I mean? I walked on and made the team. Man, I was outstanding offensive walk-on right away. You know, I was playing once I was eligible. I had to sit out a year for transfer rules. But I learned a very valuable lesson at the time, and it was, man, you got to take chances on yourself. You have to believe in yourself. And, of course, you have to be good at the game. You know what I mean? Like wrestling, it's a game. You have to know the X's and the O's. But I think most importantly is you got to be confident. You got to know that, hey, I'm the guy for this, you know? And it took a while, I would say, because I was, 18 at the time, 19, making that move. But I'd say that's my first real jump, you know? And I've been jumping ever since, Chris.
You've been kicking ass and taking names, no doubt about it. Listen, man, I have a million other questions. I'd love to ask them for you, but I know you got to run and you got a tight schedule. I so appreciate you making time for us. Really looking forward to seeing you in person here. Vengeance Day, again, Entertainment and Sports Arena. Tickets on sale. Trick just told you how to get them. The code, everything pre-sale, on sale to the general public. WWE coming for PLE for the first time in 9 years. Trick, keep kicking ass and taking names, like I said. Thank you so much for being awesome, and we'll see you here in D.C. in the middle of next month, okay?
Hey, thank you, Chris. And once again, that code, you come get your code for Trick Willie NXT Live. NXTLIBE. Let's talk about it. Thank you, Chris.
Let's do it, baby. Thank you, Trick. Appreciate you. All right, that is WWE NXT superstar, now two-time champion Trick Williams. So you heard him mention he wanted to play for the Commanders at one point. Was in the Eagles training camp. How about that, huh? Little South Carolina Hampton football. And coming to D.C. February the 15th for WWE NXT Vengeance Day at the Entertainment and Sports Arena. So a little break from the Commanders action. We'll come back with our picks. One half of the normal dual six-pack. We'll just pick all six of the games coming up in the NFL. And that means the Commanders and the Bucks with the spread. With the spread involved. And stay tight. Hang tight. I got you covered. Coming up next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, before we get to the picks right here on a Feel Good Football Playoff Friday edition. And don't forget, you got Ohio State and Texas coming up tonight, 7:30 from Jarrah's World, AT&T Stadium in Arlington, for a trip to the national championship. And will it be Texas versus Notre Dame, or will it be Ohio State versus Notre Dame? I think it'll be Ohio State. I think Ohio State favored by 6. I think they'll cover. I think they'll win. I think they're the better team, unless they go back to throwing up all over themselves like they did against Michigan and Oregon at the end in the regular season. All right. Also, one other thing I forgot to mention. Adam Peters has been named the Pro Football Talk, whatever that's worth, NFL Executive of the Year. So congratulations to Adam Peters, first-year general manager of, yes, sir, the Washington Commanders. All right, let's get to the picks right here. 6 NFL playoff games, all with the spread in mind. Now, a lot of people do the over-under stuff and, you know, all that, the totals. I just kind of keep it simple, right? And we pick the games with the line, and that's it. We don't do first half money totals and all that crap. Too confusing. So let's start with the Chargers and the Texans, being that that is the first game up tomorrow afternoon, 4:30 Eastern time in Houston. Chargers are road favorites at -3. I like the Houston defense. The Houston offense obviously has fluctuated throughout the year. Lots of injuries. Their offensive line is scary, man. And scary in a bad way. They allow a ton of sacks. C.J. Stroud holds onto the ball a little bit too long. Mike Minter is generally regarded as a very, very, very hot name and an up-and-coming defensive coordinator. Was with Harbs at Michigan. BetQL has this game at a 4-point win for the Chargers, 20.5 to 16.5, therefore covering the -3. And I agree with that. I'll take the Chargers -3. Even though, again, the Texans are at home, and that should count for something, right? But not enough. I think the Chargers, real tough matchup. They can run the ball, Herbert, all of that. Harbaugh is a super smart dude. All right, let's get to game 2 tomorrow night. 10-7 Pittsburgh, 12-5 Baltimore. Oh, gosh, my eye is bugging out here. Sorry, guys. Can hardly see. I don't know what's going on. Got a lot of stuff in my eye, making it very difficult to see my notes and my computer. All right. The spread in this game, we even without Zay Flowers, is 9.5 still in favor of the Ravens. At home, third matchup, BetQL has the Ravens favored by 11.5, meaning they think this game will be a bigger and a cover and a bigger disparity than the spread. I disagree with this. I hate what Pittsburgh has become. Russell Wilson's been struggling. George Pickens is an ginormous pain in the ass. Najee Harris is not good enough. I wish they would give it more to the backup running back. Mike Tomlin might be coaching for his job. Lamar is Lamar. But no Zay Flowers helps me because I'm going with the Steelers, along with the fact that it's a division matchup and a third matchup between the two. And even though it's in Baltimore, and even though Baltimore got the best of them last time they were in Baltimore, I think the Ravens win, but I think it's a closer game than 9.5. I'll take the Steelers plus 9.5 over the Ravens. So that's the Chargers minus 3 over the Texans. Steelers plus 9.5 on Saturday. Meanwhile, game 3 of the weekend is Denver versus the Buffalo Bills in my old stomping grounds of Arch and Park, New York. Weather's not expected to be brutal, so that's kind of good. The Broncos clinched their first playoff spot in, what, 8 years last week? They hammered the Chiefs, didn't have to work that hard. Now they travel all the way to Buffalo. Don't get brutal weather. I love the way Bo Nix has mostly played this year. Sure, a little up and down from time to time. What rookie quarterback isn't? Their defense, I know Josh Allen is a machine, but I like Denver in this one, and I like Denver to hit a medium to longish pass to kind of be the difference in this game and maybe winning it outright. Maybe winning it outright. Definitely covering the 9, I will say that. I think Denver can keep the game close and give us a ball game. BetQL, again, just for what they have the game at 22 for the Bills, 18.5 for Denver. So their spread is Denver plus the 3.5. I get a 5-point difference, 5.5, depending on where you get it. I have it at 9. They have it, you know, consensus at 8.5. We'll leave it at 9 because that's where I have it. But Denver should be able to cover the number in this game, even though it's in Buffalo. All right, game 4. It's the Green Bay Packers, and Jalen Hurts is returning for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are at home, Lincoln Financial Field. This is a rematch of week 1. Depending on where you get it, 4.5 is what I'm going with it from ESPN Bet. BetQL has the Eagles at -5. I should say at -6.5. So they actually have the Eagles covering the number, wherever you get it at, in this game. 22.5 to 16 at Lincoln Financial Field. So, again, if you're looking to BetQL, safe way to go is Philadelphia. They get Jalen Hurts back. Great on defense for the most part outside of the game at in Landover where they had a couple of coverage busts. Good at forcing turnovers, which you know. Very stout on both sides of the ball. Great offensive line. I love the Packers, but I think the Eagles get this done with Saquon. Remember, he had 3 touchdowns against the Green Bay Packers in the season opening game in Brazil. Give me the Eagles as well. I'll take the -4.5 for game 4 of Wild Card Weekend. Game 5. Monday Night Football. It's been moved to Glendale, Arizona, in case you weren't aware. No longer at SoFi Stadium. It's been a week and then some for the Los Angeles Rams and for all of Southern California and Los Angeles and everybody affected. Certainly that's got to play into this game, right? Maybe you're playing for those people, but in some ways that's got to be a huge distraction. The line, even after the move and essentially robbing a home game away from the Rams, because there'll be a ton of Vikings fans there either way, but maybe more in Glendale, is -3 in favor of Minnesota. I don't trust Sam Darnold, but I don't love what the Rams have had to go through this week. BetQL has the Rams winning 20.5 to 19.5. I'll go against their advice. give me the Vikings. Their blitzing defense, a bad taste in their mouth, and maybe a little bit more conservative and smart Kevin O'Connell. Instead of going for it all the time on fourth down, maybe they settle for field goals and they get points instead. And maybe they don't need to keep up with the Lions or the Rams like they did the Lions. Give me the Vikings minus the 3 on Monday night in Glendale, Arizona. And I like that because, you know, as well, because it's now essentially a neutral field. And just everything that the Rams have had to deal with, and they've had to deal with a lot. And you hate to make it about that, but that's part of the mix. Game number 6. The game you care most about. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I think Tampa Bay is going to win. I like their offense. I like their offense to execute. I don't like the Commanders' ability to run the football naturally. I think the Commanders have left some big plays on the table. They haven't created enough turnovers. Huge difference between facing and forcing Cowboys' offense and Trey Lance, no CeeDee Lamb, into field goals as opposed to Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, and the rest of the Tampa Bay crew. I think Tampa wins. I'm going to say Tampa wins 30-27, which means give me the Commanders plus 3.5. So I think the Commanders lose a tight game, 30-27, 33-30. But they cover the 3.5. How about them apples? I think that's fair. I think that's what we could see. Just in case you're curious, BetQL has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning by 4, 23.5 to 19.5. I disagree with that. The game's going to be way higher than that. They're saying 67% chance that Tampa Bay wins. And real quickly, you know how much I love the Sharps or the Sharks. Apparently, 84% of the Sharp money is coming in on the Commanders. And 74%, I assume that's the public tickets. No, no. 74% coming in on the Commanders as well. Not a lot of Sharp money and public money on the Buccaneers. I think they're forgetting how good that offense is when they're clicking. And obviously, we will find out together. If the Commanders can force a turnover or two, that will go a long way to helping them not only cover, but also win that game. But for now, give me the Commanders plus the 3.5, but losing a tight one in Tampa Bay. All right, time for a quick trending alert, and then we'll come on back with cleanup on aisle 3, everything we didn't get to on the show, and a recap of everything we talked about right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, college football once again taking center stage tonight. It's the other national semifinal. It's at Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium in Arlington. It is the 12-2 Aha State Buckeyes, the 8 seed in the college football playoff against the Texas Longhorns at 13-2. They are the 5 seed, and they are not the favorites. Ohio State, 6-point favorites in this game after ripping up number 1 Oregon in the Rose Bowl a week and a half ago. Meanwhile, Carson Beck is leaving Georgia after the elbow injury and heading to the Miami Hurricanes to replace Cam Ward. Kyle McCord, former Ohio State quarterback, last year with Syracuse, played pretty darn well, is declaring for the NFL draft. Meanwhile, from the NFL, Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, who recently redid part of his contract, tearing his Achilles again and has to have a second surgery and now is likely to miss much of, if not all, of the 2025 season. Tonight, here on the Team 980, we'll have UCLA and Terrapins basketball coming up from College Park. Again, here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Pregame coverage at 7:30. And the Wizards are over on Bloomberg 99.1 at the UC in Chicago. And that's what's trending. All right, coming up on this feel-good football playoff Friday, we'll wrap it up with Dum-Dum of the Day. We were sent this, I think at Boston DG sent it. I'll double check that. Yeah. You're never going to want to go to a laundromat again.
I really hope that you catch what the song for the rejoin is, because as soon as we locked in on this being the story, I found the perfect rejoin song that, sorry everyone, it might be a little bit coming back because Chris is going to be chuckling to himself.
Okay, that's a good tease.
I'm proud of this one.
I thought you were talking initially about Johnny B. Goode, but you were not.
No, okay. This is for Dum Dum.
All right. Okay. I like it. All right. Let's do this. Let's wrap up the show. Before we get to Dum Dum of the Day, let's wrap up the show with, you know what time it is. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, a story we didn't get to, and listen, this is not a huge name, but it is a noteworthy incident. LSU wide receiver Kyren Lacy, LSU football wide receiver Kyren Lacy, accused of causing a fatal crash that killed a 78-year-old man, unfortunately, in September. He's been issued an arrest warrant for not only causing the crash and ultimately the man's demise, but fleeing the scene and without rendering aid or calling authorities. They are charging him with negligent homicide, felony hit and run, and reckless operation of a vehicle. Listen, I don't know what else to say. I see idiots all the time driving ridiculous speeds. I was almost blown off the road on the way in today because you people think you are more important than me. You're not. But this guy allegedly was driving a 2023 Dodge Charger on Louisiana Highway 20, recklessly passed multiple vehicles at a high rate of speed, crossing the center line, entered the northbound lane while in a designated no-passing zone. As he was illegally passing other vehicles, the driver of the northbound pickup truck abruptly braked and swerved to the right to avoid a head-on collision with the approaching Dodge. The driver, who was behind the pickup driving a 2017 Kia, then swerved left to avoid the oncoming Dodge Charger. The evasive action avoided impact with the Dodge, but it crossed the center line and collided head-on with another Kia. And again, the football player, Lacy, left the scene, did not help, did not call emergency services, nothing, or report his involvement in causing the crash. And a 78-year-old man from Louisiana passed away due to injuries in the crash. Obviously, just a horrible, horrible, horrible situation. Played a couple of years at LSU. So there you have that. We mentioned a couple of big college football stories in advance of the national semifinal. Kyle McCord going for the NFL draft. I have to imagine, good year at Syracuse, and he suspects a pretty, for the most part, weak class. And maybe he can get up in, maybe the back end of the first round. We'll see. Carson Beck heading from Georgia to Miami. So you have that. And coming up tonight, again, Ohio State and Texas for the national semifinal. In case you missed last night's ending to the Notre Dame-Penn State game, now a lot of people are going to blame Penn State's James Franklin for not being able to find a way to win that game. And I understand that. He has struggled against top five teams. Notre Dame wins 27-24 on a last-second field goal. Listen, people. Drew Aller threw a terrible interception late in that game, and Penn State could not stop the run for Notre Dame in the second half. It was a completely different ball game, and some of it, I don't know how much, some of it had to do with Abdul Carter, who came in with a shoulder injury. They didn't even know if he was going to play. He played every snap but one in the first half. And then you see he had to start being spelled in the second half. And Notre Dame took over and took over and took over and kept pounding. And a couple of turnovers certainly helped the cause. And Notre Dame with the walk-off kickoff, with the walk-off game-winning field goal with just a couple of seconds left, 27-24. And Marcus Freeman becomes the first black head coach to reach and play for a championship game. I love what Marcus Freeman said after the game. It's not just about empowering black head coaches. It's about empowering other minority coaches and white coaches that deserve an opportunity. That deserve an opportunity. And I'm loosely quoting there. I love what Marcus Freeman had to say. So congratulations to him and the Notre Dame fighting Irish as they win 27-24 again. Ohio State, Texas coming up tonight. Now, one thing you should keep in mind, Texas, right? They barely, and I mean barely, not that there's like a lot of embarrassment in this, but they barely beat Arizona State in overtime. They blew a big lead. Spotty special teams. They did win 39-31. They did beat Clemson in Austin 38-24 to kick off the playoffs. That was impressive. But they barely beat Arizona State. But remember this year, they lost to Georgia twice. Once in Austin at home, 30-15. Once in the SEC championship game, neutral field in Atlanta, 22-19 with a backup quarterback. I'm sorry, people. Texas, Quinn Ewers, if the Manning kid has to play, I'd be very surprised if Texas finds a way to pull this one out. Maybe they cover. I don't see it. To the NFL we go real quickly because I want to make sure I get this done. We all know what a mess it's been for the New York Giants this year. They even screwed up getting the potential number one overall pick, and now they're picking at number four. Apparently, as it goes, it was reported today, I think by Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports, before the start of a Week 4 game against the Dallas Cowboys, the Giants apparently wanted to make a roster move. They wanted to cut cornerback Nick McCloud. I'm sorry, they wanted cornerback Nick McCloud to take a pay cut from a one-year, nearly $3 million deal that he signed in the offseason. McCloud said, no, you paid me the money, you know, what have you. I mean, it was a restricted free agent tender, I guess it was. So Joe Shane, the general manager of the Giants, remember, he walked away from Saquon Barkley, which I didn't disagree with at the time. Apparently, he told McCloud's agents, quote, don't pay October's rent, all right? Remember, this is week four of the NFL season. He said, don't pay October's rent, all right? As soon as I can replace him, I'm going to replace him. I'm not bleeping around. Supposedly, that's what the Giants general manager said to the agents for the player, Nick McCloud, who had signed a one-year $2.98 million deal. Now listen, there's no guarantee that that's what he said or exactly or even close to it or what have you. But we all know things are said in frustration sometimes that you don't mean, that you wish you could take back. If he said anything like that, man, is that really low class. And pun intended, low rent. Because while you can tell an agent, hey, listen, man, you know, we're going to have to make a move here. If you want to take a pay cut, maybe we can figure something out. But we're going to have to make a move here because of X, Y, and Z. There's a way to do that without being like, yeah, tough guy, don't pay October's rent. As soon as I can replace him, the second I can find somebody to replace him, his ass is out. And I'm not bleeping around. Again, there's ways to talk to people. there's ways to send messages, and then there's reportedly. Actually, this was from Jordan Renan of ESPN. Jordan's a great reporter, so I can't imagine he's got this wrong. But maybe the agent, I don't know. Who knows? The bottom line is, not a good look. Not a good look for the New York Giants in any way, shape, or form. And not a good look for Joe Shane, who apparently, along with Brian Daboll, are coming back. We'll see how long the leash is on them. All right, that does it for cleanup on aisle three.
Cleanup in aisle three.
Right here on a feel-good football playoff Friday edition of this very here radio program. I am merely the Rooster, Chris Russell. Good to have you with us. Matty Ice is on the other side of the glass coming up. Dum-dum of the day. Oh, boy. I haven't been to a laundromat in a long, long time. If you have to go, it'll make you think twice. Stay tuned. Oh, Matty Ice. So fresh, so clean from Outkast. Well
done. So fresh
done.
And so clean.
Well done, well done. Oh boy. This will make you think about, it'll make you think more than once or twice about going to a laundromat.
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
A couple in Waukesha, Wisconsin, who had already been accused of having sexual relations in the Waukesha County Jail lobby last year, decided, you know what? Let's try this again. Let's go to a laundromat. Season's greetings on Christmas Eve. And let's get it on, baby. But let's not just get it on in the laundromat. No. Let's get it on the floor. The floor. Lying under a blanket on the floor. On video at the Flash Laundromat in Wisconsin.
What?
Waukesha, Wisconsin, baby.
What?
Yeah. The owner discovered it. He apologized to his patrons.
No.
Yes, he kicked them out. They weren't seen cleaning clothes because they were cleaning other things. Again, this is not the first time these two, not the first rodeo. They apparently had sex in a jail lobby in May. So, laugh it up. There's one other part of this story. Desmond Cleveland is 29 years old. Kevin Hill. How could you, Kevin? Is 67.
Take it easy.
She's 67. He's 29.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
67 and 29. Our guy at Boston DG did send that in. Appreciate all of his help and efforts, because sometimes it's hard to find ridiculously stupid and not mean stories. Let me leave you with this. We never really got into Cliff Kingsbury. He's not going anywhere. I told you that a week and a half ago. John Kahn with a good story. Go check that out. My guy Spencer tweeted me before the show. He said, quote, I've been bludgeoned on Hogs Haven for suggesting Joe Witt is the weak link on the staff. He didn't even bring a strong resume to D.C., and he should be fired unless his unit shows out on Sunday. Our fans, like with EB, think it's all on the players. Can you discuss this? I think it's mostly on the players and what they don't have. I don't think it's all scheme. I think some of it and some of the adjustments can be made earlier, like I hope they are. We'll discuss that more on Sunday morning. I'll next join you at 11 a.m. over on 106.7 The Fan, noon to 12:30 right here on the Team 980. Thanks to Maddie. Craig Hoffman up next. And have yourself a great week. weekend. We'll see you on Sunday.